Critically Chaotic is a rowdy Dungeons & Dragons podcast that consists of adult themes and humor. Content warnings for this episode can be found in the episode description, as well as a link to transcripts. Queen, who plays Mogan, was unable to attend this week's session, and so is absent from today's episode. Rest, weary traveler, and enjoy.
In the last episode, part of the Vox Anima crew decided to spend the night at the museum, much to the existing security's mild concern. Before joining them there, Jerome decided to take a small detour to break into Valen's home and read his diary, as you do. While Vey, Snow, and Jerome settled in for a long night, Carius and Leaf returned to the Mercenaries Guild for a heart-to-heart. While all seemed well on the surface, Vey's night was plagued with disturbing visions. Now, the Vox plan to do one last information-gathering mission before heading after their new target.
Are you gonna tag along with these folks, Alan? Are you gonna do your museum curator thing? What are you planning on doing?
Yeah, I'll have to have a shift at the museum. I'll have to let people know that I'll be going off on a trip with you all soon. Yeah, I'm sure that it'll be all right. And should you need anything, you know where to find me. I'll be at the museum.
Right back at you, buddy.
Wait, you'll be at the museum too?
No. You know where to find me, though. I'll be up on the roof.
Oh, yes, of
course. Sayonara. And with that, Jerome goes to the nearest window and walks out and climbs up onto the roof.
Would you like a pillow and a blanket?
I'm good. Thanks, buddy.
All right. If you wake up and get hungry, feel free to help yourself to food. Okay.
You're a gem.
I'm a tiefling. So he looks to the rest of you. All right. So you all will be going off and doing your own thing, and he kind of looks to Leaf. I assume you're joining them based on everything that's happening here. So good luck. Be safe, and we'll meet back here in the evening. I can make dinner, or you all can go back to your mercenary guild, whatever you would prefer, depending on what you find.
Thank you, Valen. I hope you have a good day.
Yes, you too. Bye. And he heads out the door.
Jerome waves as he sees Valen walk away. And he's like, don't be a stranger to your own house.
He looks back and he says, I don't think it's possible to be.
You'd be surprised. Bye.
Alright, so Snow and Jerome will be sleeping. And then, for the rest of you, will you head on out?
I will disguise myself as, I'll disguise myself as, like, old Jerome. Like, slightly pointed ears, dirty looking, a bunt, like, crow's feet, really thin salt and pepper hair, thin, knobby knees, knobby elbows. Really just...
I mean, you can just straight up disguise yourself as Jerome if you felt like it.
I'm trying to look like a common person. You have a coin around your neck. You're weird. I kind of look like a beat down soldier. Like a dude that says he's seen shit.
Leaf, what have you disguised yourself as? I'll say that you, because you like took your time, you just like got a 20 for disguise, so you look like whatever you want to look like.
I will disguise myself to look like I guess like a human woman. Like I just look very, very average, like maybe brown hair and a ponytail, and I just look like any other civilian you would see on the street. Like an NPC in a game kind of vibe.
So you're wearing full body paint to not be green.
To not be green.
And you're wearing, like, you have, like, long hair to cover your pointed ears. And you also have on, like, a large hat to cover your horns.
Yeah, like a hat or like a big hood.
Okay, yeah.
Makes sense, right?
Curious, what animal are you disguising yourself as?
I feel like it's gonna make the most sense if I go with a dog. Like a...
A beloved dog?
A beloved dog, yeah, a big black dog.
How long does the animal transformation last?
Right now I have about an hour and I can do it twice a day.
So you all can head on out to go and listen for rumors.
I can do this as many times as need be, so I can stay out as long as I want. Go in different circles, stuff like that. Perhaps if we didn't stay as a whole group, I'm fine if maybe one person wants to stick near me, but it might be strange if... Leaf, what did you disguise yourself as again?
Just like a average human woman.
Oh, okay, you can be my daughter. Never mind. We can all stay together. Cool.
Alright, so y'all head on out.
Can my familiar fly around as well?
Yes.
Cool.
Oh yeah, I keep forgetting that I have Petal.
Yeah, does Petal stick with you, or...?
I'll bring her along and then I'll attempt to send her up into the air to scout and just, like, watch us from afar.
Okay, so you ask her to kind of, like, go up into the air, scout, kind of watch you, and she gives you kind of, like, a look, and then she, like, flaps her wings a little bit, like, barely hovering above the ground, and makes a very dramatic, oh, but I'm so tired, kind of an expression, and then she lands back on the ground.
Okay, well, if you're so tired, then you can go back to the house and you can hang out with Jerome.
She gives a little, like, puff of smoke through her nostrils and then flies off very happy. Very full of energy again.
She's impossible, but I love her so much.
Okay, so if you all are going to be looking for rumors, roll investigation for me.
I got a solid 5.
You're busy being a dog.
It's a lot of distracting things as a dog. A lot of people are trying to pet me.
Well, I got an 8.
You're very distracted with readjusting your hat and trying to make sure that your ears aren't being seen.
I got a 23.
You're listening around a lot, and you're trying to, like, keep your ear out, you're trying to listen, and every so often you'll hear some people talking about it, about, like, the break-in, about, like, oh yeah, like, I heard they're south, and then you hear the occasional rumor, you actually hear this rumor a couple of times, saying that they're probably, in some kind of hideout that's within the mountain that's along the Ushidal-Rusman border. Those are the prominent rumors regarding the bandit group that you hear about.
Do I hear any rumors about, specific individuals that I will not say who they are because, you know, reasons?
The closest rumors you hear is that you hear a little bit about a variant human that's been seen a couple of times.
Is there any, like, where, like, if they're running with anybody or where they are around? Close by, or just rumors like, oh, this person's doing this?
Yeah, it's more so that it's like a couple of vendors talking about, like, this variant human that comes by sometimes and orders stuff from them, and how, like, she seems, like, really nice and whatnot, but they're not sure, like, they haven't really seen really many variant humans, and so they're just, like, chatting about it because it's, like, weird to see one around.
Cool, sounds good. And I will keep going along until, I guess, the hour when Carius is going to turn back into an... I would keep going if I would be able to hear more rumors. I would keep circling around and just re-upping my disguise, probably changing it a couple times, but I would keep going until anything else was happening.
Carius, quick question, if you know. And if you don't know, then I'll just do, like, a house rule. So... As an animal, are you only able to speak as that animal? Like, you can't speak English, you speak as a dog? Like a ruff-ruff?
That is true. It's only the dog speaking.
That's what I've been picturing.
Then follow-up question. is this a sort of like animal talking movie where like the animals understand each other regardless of species? And so then you would understand what animals are saying when you're in your animal form.
I personally would imagine so.
I think that one's more up to you. There isn't a specific ruling for that. It's just the DM for animal talk.
All right, cool. Then I'm going to keep it that way. You can just hear animals when you're in your animal form, because you can only keep it up for like an hour. So it's not like, it's basically the same as like talk to animals. You're going along. You're being pet by people. You're being cooed over. You're doing your little dog things. The freedom of being a dog. You start hearing like a loud kind of like voice from above, just going, "Oi, oi, get over me! You stop bothering me, you stupid little demon!" And you like kind of look up and you see this little bird that's being kind of harassed by L. And Elle is, like, kind of chasing the bird, like, around while the bird is, like, flapping its wings and trying to, like, get it off. And the bird kind of dives down and lands on you as it's still, to everyone else, it's, like, kind of, like, squawking and chirping up at the air where there's, like, really nothing. And then the bird is just sort of like, "Oi, do you see what's going on here? Can you believe that I'm being harassed just by walking through this air, huh? Can you believe that?"
Okay. Okay, hold on just a minute. And, Carius, kind of tugs on Vay's, at the edge of the cloak with her, his teeth to try and get... Do I see L? To clarify?
I feel like animals can see L in invisibility, much like animals can see ghosts in our world. As we all know.
As we all know. He tries to get her attention and like gestures his head towards L in a like call him off kind of way.
Carius, I don't know if you know that you're a dog. I don't know what you're doing.
Carius heaves a very dog sigh and then takes a couple of steps forward and turns back to a tiefling and says, "Your familiar is harassing a bird."
Tweet, 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 tweet.
That bird is very... Did you ask the bird if they know anything about weird birds?
The bird would probably appreciate that question more when it is not being harassed.
I really can't stop Elle from having fun like this. And Elle is kind of helping me out with the whole rumor thing.
Tweet, 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 tweet.
That bird really needs to shut up.
Tweet, tweet!
So he reaches up and, like, gently cups the bird in his hand and kind of cradles it against his chest so it's no, like, L cannot see it as much. And, I would also like to, cast, fake animals as I'm doing that.
Okay.
Can I keep going along? Carius? I kind of need to keep listening for rumors. You could talk to the animals if you want.
Yeah, you two go on ahead.
Leaf, let's go.
Yes, I am an old man!
Don't do that voice. And then they just keep walking off as, like, Leaf is, like, trying to convince Vay that that voice is not working.
What are you talking about, daughter? This is how my voice has been for 15 years!
Dad, you're delusional. You're losing it in your old age.
When I was in the womb, we need you to make fun of each other's voices!
And so they head off, and Carius, you cast with Speak with Animals, and so the bird goes from tweet, 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 and so what did I fucking say? I told that fucking demon to leave me alone, and it did not, it just kept bothering me. But you sweet little angel, you are protecting me, and there off it goes with that horrible old man.
I apologize for what happened. I'm sure we've had some bad run-ins. I deeply apologize for all of that. Are you all right? Are you hurt at all?
No, I'm fine. I was just getting really annoyed.
Understandable. I would be annoyed, too. What's your name?
My name is Terry.
Terry, good to meet you. Is that short for anything?
Yeah, it's short for tear your fucking throat out like I will with anyone that fucking bothers me.
I love this bird.
Well, it is very nice to meet you, Mr. Terry. What brings you to the city? Do you live here, or do you live in the woods nearby?
And he just starts walking while he's chatting with this bird, still holding him in his hand.
I'm trying to see the world. I'm trying to go across the entire continent. I started as a wee little lad in Adria, and I've moved all the way down here. It's only taken me about 2 years, but I've done it.
That's quite a journey. That's quite impressive.
It is incredibly exhausting is what it is.
I can imagine. A lot of flapping. I've traveled a lot. I've had to do a lot of walking. It can be quite tiring.
So you're also a wee little bird with nowhere to go, nowhere to stay.
Yes, I don't have any permanent home now. I'm a traveler as well. I travel around. And if you want to see... Oh, first question. My companions and I, we have been hunted a bit by a upsetting fellow named Oriole, who seems to have a association with birds. I was wondering if you've heard of the name, or have met anyone who has heard of the name or works for him by any chance.
I don't know. I don't know all of your confusing tiefling names. I know what I see, and I can't see a name.
Understandable. Thank you for answering. Then, on to my second question. As I was saying, I am a traveler, and since my friend's familiar did harass you quite rudely, and I apologize for that again, would you like to perhaps stick around for a little while and take a rest, but still move around?
Really? You do that for me?
I don't see why not. There's certainly no harm in it.
Am I going to have to be around that terrible demon again?
I will certainly ask him to keep his distance. And you are a friend. I will sure once he understands you are a friend, no harm will come to you.
All right. I'll agree tentatively. I don't know what my voice just did. I turned Russian. Don't mind me.
Sounds good then. And he kind of lifts the bird up and Terry up and sets him down on his back on his horn so he can chill.
He perches very comfortably. They and pals, that's the majority of what you learn. You learn that there's been a couple sightings, that they go south, and that there's a lot of rumors and theories that they're probably in the mountain that is south of this town.
Okay.
Cool. Sounds good.
Gary's probably goes ahead and goes back to Valen's place since that's where we were meeting, and he's lost track of his friends at this point.
You just kind of hang out there then because the other two are asleep. Do you still have the note that Oriole sent?
Yeah, probably.
Just in case you wanted to interrogate the bird more.
I love that. Have you seen this note? Tell us everything!
It has a stamp. It has a stamp of their group on it.
Oh, it does have a stamp. Terry, you said you recognize things that you see. Hold on just a moment. And he digs through his bag and kind of pulls out the note, and he unfolds it and shows it to Terry, and he says, have you seen this symbol anywhere?
He kind of, like, looks at it, and he goes, that's the one that you're looking for! That's this Oriole person! I thought you were talking about an actual bird!
No. He might have been named after a bird, but he is a humanoid, as far as we know, anyway. We don't know anything about him, really, just that he seems to want to kill us.
Yeah, you and the most other birds in the forest, I'll say that. That son of a bitch is responsible for a lot of destruction of the various birds that I have met on my way over here. Oi, he is terrible. He'll capture us and he'll love us and he'll use us for his traveling and his notes. But he doesn't want no birds being traced back to him. No, no, no. And so what does he do? He poisons the fucking food that he gives us. That's what he does. Oh, that bastard. Oh, I want to tear his fucking throat out.
I think I also want to tear out his throat. Thank you for telling me this. I'm sure it must be difficult to talk about. Do you happen to know anything else about him? Like, and anything about, like, where he may be located? Even just the general area?
Well, I don't know.
I've seen that symbol all throughout Adria and Ushadal. He's everywhere, I tell ya.
Good to know. Thank you, Terry. That's very helpful.
So evening comes, Jerome and Snow, you wake up, Valen heads back from the museum, and then Vay and Leaf also head back. So you all kind of like get up and are together in Valen's house, kind of all at about the same time. And Valen starts preparing some dinner.
I gotta say, Valen, your roof tiles are very comfy. I haven't stayed on such a comfy roof in quite a while. You got some nice tiling. What is it? Is it cedar? 10 out of 10 experience. Would nap again.
Yes, thank you for allowing us to spend the day here.
Of course. Did you all find out anything? And he looks to Carius and friends, and he notices the bird. I see you found a friend, Carius.
Yes. This is Terry. I do want to mention I did find something, not necessarily about our current targets, but about Oriole.
Oh.
Do share.
He's, like, petting the bird with one hand, and he relays, petting Terry with one hand, he relays what Terry told him, and also introduces Terry to the group.
Terry tweets a lot, and is shifting around a lot, and looks like a very agitated bird.
Mm-hmm. Hey, how's it going, Terry? You want a scone? You look like a bird who'd appreciate a good scone.
Don't give the bird a scone.
Sorry, little fella. No more scone. Carius probably knows what's better for you anyways.
Carius, like, pulls out, like, a little packet of seeds that he's been using to feed, give Terry food, and he hands it to Jerome so Jerome can feed, Terry.
Ah, seeds. That makes sense. You ever want any, secret sort of snacks? I got you on the download, Terry. You and me, we going places.
He tweets very excitedly.
Good buddy, good pal. So what we find out about, everything?
You share that information. Valen serves, dinner, which is a vegetarian stew, and you just kind of go over it. And Valen says, the mountain is about maybe a day and a half's trip from here. So that's not far at all if the rumors are true.
Do you have a cart that we could borrow, perhaps? We need to transport all the artifacts, unless they're small enough, of course, for us to fit in our packs, and we could just hoof it all the way there, but...
They should be small enough to fit in the packs, but it would probably be smarter to take a cart of some kind, just to move faster.
I would agree. Do you have one part of your museum or anything?
No, not personally, but we can easily get one from the... And he kind of, like, pauses and glances at Carius. An independent stable we can rent.
Carius stuffs a mouthful of stew into his mouth and mumbles, "It's fine." Just, like, avoiding eye contact with everyone now.
But yes, that should not be hard to procure at all.
Fucking excellent. We love to hear it. That's great to hear. I assume the lot of y'all are probably a little on the more tired side from the longer day of doing stuff, so how's about Snow and I do a little bit of our own sort of investigation during the night while y'all get some sleep, get some rest, and then tomorrow we'll start heading out and, we'll get there.
I mean, is there any investigation we really need to do at this point? They figured out where we need to go.
I mean, we don't know for sure that the artifacts are going to be there. They might have been sold off at this point on the black market, so we wouldn't have to check.
To be fair, Jerome, I don't think we'd figure that out here. I think we'd figure that out once we get to the mountain.
You know? That's fair.
Jerome, please.
All right.
Spare God.
It's fine. It's not like I spent 4 hours working on this dungeon today. It's fine.
We must go to the dungeon!
All right, take it away.
You all have a wonderful evening with your stew. It's great. You all settle for the night. Jerome and Snow play cards all night or something. I don't know. What's the room situation? Do y'all stay in one room? What are you doing?
Nope. Snow and Vay on her own. We're not sleeping with the dudes.
Girls and boys.
All right. So the night goes by, and then they, while you're hanging out, while you're between meditations, you start to see those shadows yet again.
Oh, lovely. Oh, my old friends. Hello, darkness, my old friend.
At first, you start to see the shadows underneath the bed. Well, actually, where is Vae situated?
She would be sitting on the floor like she usually does.
Okay, that's what I thought. So you first see the shadows kind of under the bed. Like, it's already dark under the bed, but you see, like, extra darkness that are kind of, like, murky and moving a little bit. And then you, as you're trying to study those shadows, trying to make sure that they don't move, you start to notice more, and you kind of glance up, and you see that there are some shadows, like, kind of behind Snow's sleeping figure. And they're, like, there seems to be so many that they're almost, like, outlining Snow in a weird, like, dark liquid outline. You start to hear the familiar buzzing and the whisper that's, like, right next to your ear. And it says,
"Go to your bag."
Okay. I go to my bag because I don't want to die.
And the voices continue, and it's almost like they're kind of being, like, overlaid with one another. Like, there's multiple voices kind of whispering all at once, saying,
"Take out the mask.
Take out the mask.
Take out the mask.
Take out the mask.
Take out the mask.
I take out the mask."
So the mask looks very similar to how it was before, except, so before it was, like, this singular kind of, like, metal color, and then along the bottom it's turned, like, an almost, like, crimsony type color. Like, it's kind of rust, but it's more brighter than, like, red. It's almost like blood red, you know? It's a very bright kind of color. And then the voice says, "Walk to the bed."
I'm going to walk over, but I'm holding it behind my back. I'm not holding it out in front of me. I'm keeping myself in between the mask and Snow.
Okay. And so you're standing over Snow now, and you can still see the shadows kind of, like, liquidy behind Snow. And the buzzing in your head is getting a lot louder. You hear the whispers, like, a lot faster, kind of, like, again, overlapping, like it's becoming a little bit more chaotic. And it says,
"Sit down on the bed.
Sit down next to her.
Sit down next to her.
Sit down on the bed.
Sit down on the bed."
She's freaking out beside me. This is so fun to watch. She's curling. I will sit down on the bed by her feet, still with the mask behind me. I'm not sitting beside her. I'm sitting beside her feet, which is technically following what they say. I'm not near her face.
The voices say,
"Move closer.
Move up.
Get near her. Move closer.
Move up."
No, I don't.
Oh, you don't? Okay. As you're holding the mask, you start to feel it kind of burning, like, really, really hot in your hands, and the voice becomes louder.
Move near her.
I'm gonna put the mask on my own face again.
No.
So it doesn't go on Snow's face.
No.
Okay. So you move and you put the mask instead to your own face. Like before, the black goo suddenly, like, lashes out and latches onto you, but it moves way faster than before, whereas before it was, like, a horrifyingly slow process of just, like, sticking to your face and clinging around you. This time it completely envelops your face, and it's, like, starting to drip down your body. Where are you looking anywhere in particular while your face is now glued to this mask?
Is there a mirror in the room with me?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's probably, like, a mirror on the wall near the dresser.
Can I look in the mirror first and then over at Snow?
Yeah. So you have to, like, kind of get up and walk over to the mirror. And so you look into the mirror, and even though you have this mask on your face, you see yourself, like, without the mask. You look different from you normally do. So your hair is not, like, quite so stark white. Instead, it's more of, like, a really pale blonde. And your skin is still pale, but it's, like, a pale, almost, like, bluish gray kind of a color. And your eyes are really glazed over and, like, a weird grayish color. And in the middle of your chest, you're wearing your same clothes, but in the middle of your chest, there's like all, there's just a bunch of blood that is just dripping down the front of your chest, like right over where your heart is. You can like see your veins through your skin. You're like so pale and translucent and like gray, and it looks like you're basically like a walking corpse. And so that's what you see when you look into the mirror. When you look over towards Snow, it's the shadows have kind of covered her almost entirely. You can make out her figure, but it's like you're looking through a really dark film. You see this other figure behind her that is also like really covered in shadow. Like the only thing that you can really make out is that it has the face of like the eyes and then this mouth that is just like, it's like completely hollow white eyes and then this mouth that is almost like a Joker grin where it's like unbelievably like wide. And so it's like their entire body is all like black shadow except for the eyes and this mouth, which is like bright white. It's the only feature that you can make out. And then it draws up a hand and it puts like a like shush finger to its lips as it puts a hand on Snow's shoulder. And then you wake up and you are meditating and it's morning.
Awesome. Before I wake Snow up, could I check myself in the mirror real quick?
Yeah. You look like yourself. You look fine.
Lovely. Awesome. Perfect. I will take about 15 to 20 minutes. I don't know if this was, if I slept, I probably slept in the middle of the night, so there's probably like 2 hours left before Snow gets up.
Okay, yeah. So then it's not morning. It's definitely later than the normal like 4 hour meditation you would have had though.
Cool. So then I just wait till the normal time, probably just collecting myself and double checking the room and being like, wow, that was interesting. Yay. And I just wait until everyone else is awake to wake Snow up.
Alrighty. So you all have your breakfast in the morning. It goes smoothly, small talk, blah, blah, blah. And then you all head over to Valen's. And Valen is dressed up in some light armor and has a sword at his side. And he greets you all with a smile and says, good morning. I hope you all slept well. Hope you had a good morning.
I'd say so. The roof on this place, it could use a little bit of work. But otherwise, pretty good night's sleep. Got a lot of rest.
Good. I slept pretty well as well. We still need to go and get the carriage, which the rental place shouldn't be too far. Caris, do you want to come with me to grab that?
We probably, since we're all here now, we should probably all stick together.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course. Let's get going. And he leads the way towards the stable place. So you all arrive, and Valen is talking with the stable master and pays for the few days. He pays for 5 days just in case, even though he thinks that you all will only be gone for like maybe 3 days at the most. And so he rents 2 horses and a cart, and you all can start heading out. Does anybody walk alongside the horses, get into the cart? Does everyone get in the cart?
Into the cart.
Into the cart as well.
Yep, also in the cart.
Cart time.
Caris usually drives, so he's probably doing that.
Well, if everyone's in the cart, then Valen will also climb in. Is anybody sitting next to Caris? Otherwise, Valen is going to sit there.
Leaf will sit next to Caris.
I'll also send my familiar to be on the other side. I'll send Elle over to take up that spot. Probably, fucks with Petal on the left side, just, like, annoying the shit out of him.
I like to imagine that, like Leaf and Vay are about to get into the cart, and then they both kind of spot Valen, like, eyeing the spot next to Caris.
And then we do, like, the head nod. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the panic look, and then we, like, have, like, silent communication, like, who's gonna go? You go, Leaf, head
yeah,
nod,
I'll go.
Go.
I'll
go.
but it's all, like, no words need to be said. They just
oh, yeah.
Nod at each other.
Full on. Yep.
And Caris does not notice a lick of it. He is busy with the horses. He is not paying any attention.
So Valen is like about to get into the cart when Leaf like kind of just hops on and sits in there. And he nods and moves instead into the main part of the cart. And he probably sits down next to Jerome. And you all are traveling in the cart. And Valen leans over a little bit to Jerome and says in like a very soft voice, so hopefully only he can hear. And he says, Jerome.
Yeah, what's up, buddy?
Should I not join this adventure?
I mean, I'm gonna be honest, bud. I don't know if it was the smartest decision on your part. I warned you about the sort of deal. Maybe you and Carius could talk something out.
I certainly have attempted. I just honestly, should I just not join this caravan?
I mean, I don't really know how things played out with you and Carius in the past, but I feel like there's some sort of unresolved sort of tension happening between you two. Maybe not malicious, but something that needs a resolution. But it's gotta be something that's you're both ready to work out.
I'm really just asking a straight question. Why are you going off on all these tangents?
I've never been a straight question kind of fella, if you haven't noticed.
Can Snow just lean over, having overheard this, and just be like, honestly, do what you think is right. If you feel like you're making it uncomfortable, then don't come. And goes back.
He leans over to Snow and says, you all really, really underestimate my capabilities. I'm asking for a yes or no.
I mean, I don't personally care, really. It's the only person that would care is Carius. So if you want a straight answer, ask him directly.
No, yeah, we would not be the fellas to ask about it. I'll give you what I think. Could not tell you yes or no. That's something you'd have to figure out for yourself.
He gives a slightly annoyed sigh. And you all are kind of like nearing the gate to leave the city. And he says, Carius, can you stop the cart for a second?
Oh, sure. And Carius kind of pulls the horse to a stop and kind of looks back and says, did you leave something behind or anything?
I need to talk to you real quick, just real fast. And he gestures as like a over there kind of a gesture.
Okay. Carius hops down and walks over with Valen.
Faye, can you send over your little fella to listen in?
Oh, he's already over there. And I'll bamf into his senses.
Keep us updated.
He's a feisty little fellow. You should know by now.
So with Carius and Valen looks very awkward as he is standing over, like, off to the side with Carius. And he says, I won't be offended no matter what you say. I just want you to be honest with me. Can you do that? Would it be better for you and for your companions if I did not join you on this trip?
Carius kind of hesitates and seems to, like, think through his answer for a minute and just, like, fiddles with his clothes and his gloves for a minute and then says, honestly, I don't know. I know that's... I'm worried you know... I want maybe a chance to talk to you, but I don't really know how to do that, or if you want to do that, and we also have a job to do right now, so I don't know, like, we want to focus on that, and, like, there's a lot to talk about, so, like, we probably won't even have the time, and I don't know. I'm fine. I know this is important to you, and I'm okay with you being here. Truly. I'm not uncomfortable with you being here.
Carius.
Yes?
Your entire mannerism says otherwise, even to me. And I'm not offended if you don't want to be around me after everything. And I'm not offended if you are uncomfortable around me after everything. And I understand if your friends are also uncomfortable around me, given what they may or may not know. I can stay here. You're the one that goes off and does things, and I stay, and I can do that.
Carius, like, sighs and says, I am uncomfortable, but not for the reasons you're thinking.
I'm uncomfortable because I don't know where we stand. You left, Valen. This really should be up to you. It's... I don't care. Well, I do care. I just... I'm comfortable with you saying this is important to you. I don't mind. I don't know how the others feel. I can't tell. I...
Carius, I left because I knew that you wouldn't. But I knew that you needed to.
I didn't need to leave you. I just... I wasn't good enough. I couldn't be. I couldn't be what you wanted me to be. I'm just not built for that kind of life anymore. And I'm sorry. That I wanted to make you happy. I was trying to make you happy. I didn't... I couldn't even tell why I was unhappy. I was just scared. And this really isn't something we...
Would it be better if we just had this discussion another time?
I don't know. I don't know how to handle this. I don't know. I don't know what would be better. I still care about you. And I don't want to cause you any more pain than I already have.
Carius, if you don't know, if you can't make a decision, then I'll just make one again. I'll see you in a few days. Please be safe out there. And he gives like a little nod, and he kind of awkwardly puts his hands like kind of more near his hips, not quite sure what to do, kind of rested on his sword, and he says, be safe, and I know that you'll bring the artifacts back. And he kind of gives you a little nod and heads off.
Can I have my familiar follow along kind of a little bit in front of Valen to see if he's gonna cry as he walks away?
Oh my god, you fucking sadist. Valen walks for a bit down the street, kind of like trying to keep an impassive face and whatnot. And it's about when he's getting a bit closer to his house that tears do start to fall. Yes, you get to watch a grown man cry.
We've come too far, and right now the sun is ours.
Carrie stands in the spot where Valen left him for, like, a solid minute, and when he finally, like, starts to move, it's to wipe his face very aggressively before he turns around and goes back to the carriage, and he climbs up. He does not say anything. Leaf, who's still in that seat, presumably can probably see. He is, was crying and is still very close to crying, and he just starts driving.
Oh my god!
Can I sit behind Carius and just, like, rub slow circles into his back, trying to be comforting? I'll just do that. And if Carius seems displeased by it, then I'd take her hand back.
He seems startled at first, but he relaxes.
My question was, does he need both hands to, drive the cart?
The horses are well-trained enough that he can kind of just hold on to the reins with one hand.
Okay. Then I think Leaf would not say anything because he doesn't really know what to say, but he would just, like, quietly, like, take Carius's hand to let him know that he was there.
That's so sweet. Carius simply, like, squeezes his hands. He doesn't make eye contact. He's, like, very embarrassed right now, but he squeezes and just, like, silently, kind of, like, as a kind of silent thank you.
Aww.
For the record, I am also very close to tears.
Oh, that's so sad. They'll talk about it when they get back, maybe.
Maybe.
If we come back.
But anyway, on the road again, yeah! So you all are traveling. So now I'm gonna do y'all a favor and have you have a nice, like, uneventful day of travel.
A favor. Love it.
Fear.
Jerome's gonna show Snow how to play solitaire.
Aww. Aww.
Roll an intelligence check.
Oh, okay. I am adding guidance. Oh, I just nat 20'd.
Ooh. Fuck yeah.
Jerome has to explain it once, and then you understand it so well that you're better than Jerome immediately.
Yes! Wow, you really teach well. This is very fun.
Isn't it? Mm-hmm. I spent a lot of time hanging out by myself. It's very enjoyable for when you're just going around by yourself and you gotta kill some time. It's really fun to compete against yourself to get a better time, get better strats. You're doing pretty good yourself.
Thank you.
Yeah. Do you need a deck of cards? Do you have one? I can give you one. I got plenty of decks of cards.
I would love a deck of cards. Thank you.
Just for you. Let's go with the... How do you feel about blue and white?
Well, I mean, it should be obvious.
Seem to be a fan. I figured. Here, blue and white deck, just for you. And if you need any more playing cards, dice sets, marked or unmarked, weighted, unweighted, that sort of deal, you know who to come to.
Okay, so the day rolls by. You all are fairly close to the mountain by the time night falls. You're maybe like a half day, maybe a little less than a half day strip away. So it's well within viewing range, but it's about the time that you all usually stop to set up camp when you're on the road.
I'd assume we stop and set up camp and do our usual rotation.
We're pretty close to, like, the thieves' camp, so probably would be a bad idea to get too close.
Vay will set up her shit on, so that I feel like we shouldn't set up a bunch of tents so that we don't attract attention. Vay will sleep under the cart to protect from the elements.
Jerome is gonna approach Vay and be like, so we've been doing this night shift a while now, and like, I know you usually take the third shift alone, and I feel kind of bad about that because it can kind of like suck to just be by yourself all the time. Do you want a buddy on that or something?
Yeah, sure.
Sweet. I'll join you for it.
Considering that, like, Jerome would be also by himself on first watch, would it be alright if, like, Carius volunteered to stay with him the first watch and similarly took a nap the next day?
Yeah. So who's doing first watch?
Jerome and Carius.
Okay.
So Carius, I know this whole thing has been a lot for you. You good?
I'm alright. It's fine.
Do you want to talk about what's happening with you and, with you and Valen and or whatever? Like, you seem like you're under a lot of stress and having a lot of hard feelings, and it's hard to deal with that sort of thing by yourself.
There's really not much use. Jerome, I cannot express my feelings worth a shit. Clearly. Sorry, that was a little rude.
I'm a little rude, it's fine.
I appreciate the offer, truly, but I really don't think there's much left to say.
Alright, well, if you need anybody to talk to, me and Mrs. Snuggles. That's what I'm calling your bird friend. He seems like a snuggly sort of fella. Me and Mrs. Snuggles, we got you back, huh?
Alright, thank you, Jerome. I appreciate that.
Anytime, so. You ever want to talk, just give your old pal a little nudge. Hit me about the head if you gotta.
I'm not gonna hit you.
I mean, you could. It's just a little nudge. Friendly nudge between acquaintances. With a bat sometimes, but that's okay.
Have you had friends hit you with a bat?
Nah. Usually a crowbar. But that's a little less friendly. We're not going to worry about that. We're moving on. Need anything from me, just let me know, alright?
All right. Thank you. And, the same goes to you, Jerome.
Oh, I never have anything that I'm worried about, so it's fine. But thank you. The offer's appreciated anyways.
Karis just sort of nods and gives him a smile.
You don't want to do an insight check on that?
You know what? You're right. I'm going to insight check that. I didn't think about that. I got a nat fucking 20. Plus fucking 3, so that's a 23.
Jerome was lying about the thing with the never worrying about anything sort of deal. He wasn't lying about the crowbar thing. He is like being very genuine though, and is concerned about Karius and just wants Karius to be okay. And is focused on like worrying about Karius at the moment. He just really wants Karius to feel okay. And then in the background, there's the, hey, these things did actually happen in the past. They fucked him up, but he's not thinking about that.
Karius kind of like looks at him for a moment and then he says, well, everyone worries sometimes, and I know there are a lot of things that people would prefer not to talk about. I understand that very well, but if some of that ever gets a little too heavy, you do have someone to unload onto as well. And I appreciate you worrying about me as well.
Anytime, fella. You're a good pal, and, you know, you're just a swell fella all around, and, you're a good person, and just, you're all right. I'm not crying, it's fine. Just sniffling because of the wind. Oh,
is Jerome crying or is Lady crying?
Yes, to both.
Karius looks, like, mildly distressed.
I'm sweating out my eyes, it's fine.
Okay. And he just, like, pulls out a handkerchief and hands it to him.
Thank you. It's good for the eye sweat.
Yes, I imagine it is.
Do you need some eye sweat, too? It can be good to eye sweat sometimes.
I think I've done that enough today.
Do you need a hug? You look like you need a hug.
Karis kind of, like, hesitates for a very long moment, and then he goes, maybe, yes.
All right, bring it in, big fella.
Karis gives him a hug.
Jerome returns the hug, and they both just, like, stand there for a hot minute. By the time they separate, Jerome's eyes are no longer sweating, and he's like, good talk, buddy.
I agree. It was very good.
You ever need an eye sweat, a hug, or anything? You know who to call. Alright, good night. Good luck with a Leaf.
Leaf and Karius, can y'all roll perception for me?
Uh-oh. Sayla got a 7.
And Kian got a 6.
Gotcha. Okay, so y'all are just talking about being very perceptive. This is actually perfect.
No!
So Zay, you're trancing at the moment. What happens during your trancing to set the scene?
Because she knows that last time we were out in the open, she was actually relatively okay as long as she stayed hidden. So I said before that she was under the cart. She's actually just like sleeping in the classic, like hands, like fingers threaded, hands on her stomach.
Ah, the corpse pose.
Because she doesn't know how to sleep properly. She's just seeing people lay down. So she does the closest thing she can replicate while also being able to trance properly.
And then in her trance, is she doing anything in particular? Because I know that she like just goes throughout her thoughts of the day, yeah. Kind of a thing.
Yeah, she's just sorting through. Probably she's thinking of the conversation that she overheard with Valen and Karius, and just being like, I wonder if this will come back to bite us in the ass. Like, what if someone's out for Valen? Like, she's just basically like thinking of different possibilities and trying to make plans and solutions for them, and she usually just comes up with nothing. She's like, this is out of my hands, I can't affect it. Like, Valen's back in town.
Okay. It is while Vay is kind of like going through all of this in her trancing mind palace And so, like, in your trance mind's eye, you are going through all of your thoughts, kind of sorting them almost like they're sheets of paper or whatnot, like going through books. And then they hears a childlike giggle that sounds like a little distant. And it sounds very familiar, like it's activating some kind of memory from Vay's past of some kind. And she's hearing it like within this this like mind palace liminal space that she is in.
Am I alone in here right now?
Yeah, you don't see any shadows, you don't see any other people.
Cool. So, I slam the book shut and I put it down on a surface close by, and I immediately take off towards that sound.
So you're running down, you're running, like, between the shelves, through this, like, white liminal space, and, you hear the giggles a couple more times. And as you're running, you catch a couple glimpses of the shadows, but, like, you're running so fast that, like, they can't catch up to you. They're just, like, it's almost like they kind of, like, live in this space. They're just kind of, like, hanging out there, and they're not really pursuing you or anything. So you follow along this giggle until the Mind Palace area that you're used to kind of, like, falls away behind you, and you find yourself just in this, like, completely white space. And when you draw yourself to a stop upon realizing that, like, it's all gone, and you turn back just to kind of see, like, how far away the actual Mind Palace place is, you see a little girl that is standing before you. She would look like a normal little girl with, like, a nice, pretty pale blue dress, pretty short, like, the equivalence of maybe, like, a human 8-year-old, 10-year-old, something like that. So she looks pretty normal, except for the fact that she is wearing the mask that you have currently stowed in your backpack. And she's looking towards you, just kind of standing there.
I'm going to walk closer to her, and if I can get up to her, I'm going to kneel so I'm eye level with her.
So you kneel down and you're eye level with her. You're fairly close, although she doesn't let you get, like, super close. You've got, like, a couple feet distance. When you, like, try to get, like, too close, she takes steps back, so you have this, like, equal distance between you. So she's just a couple feet away from you while you're kneeling down in front of her. And she says to you, "Why weren't you there?"
"Why wasn't I there for what?"
"For me. It was really lonely."
"I know."
"Why do you lie?"
"Why does anyone lie?"
"I don't know. You always lie. Why are you lying to them?"
"Because it's the only thing I'm good at doing."
"The mask is comfortable, isn't it?"
She doesn't say anything to that. I feel like she averts her eyes when the girl says that. She definitely feels guilty. Just a deep, deep sense of guilt.
"Why do you keep running?"
"The past always catches up, and if you keep running, you can find people who can help you fight against it, but I don't know. I don't know why I run. I don't know. It's all I know how to do."
She takes kind of a step forward just a little bit, like closing space just a little bit between you. "Do you feel safer doing that?" She takes another step forward. "Do you like running away?"
"I do."
The mask doesn't change because the mask only has the eye holes. It doesn't have anything for the face. But you can, like, almost, like, feel her, like, smiling behind the mask as she takes another step forward. And she's, like, right in front of you now. And she puts, like, a hand on your shoulder. And she says, "Well, you are right that the past always catches up. I don't think you're listening to the clock enough, Faye." And you feel this sharp pain in the middle of your chest. And when you look down, the girl has a knife that she has pressed into your chest, like all the way to the hilt, just all the way in there. And when you look back up, you see that, like, dead, ghoulish face that you saw in the mirror when you looked into it. And the like, dead person in front of you just kind of gives, like, a hollow smile to you. And you actually wake up, like, with a jerk and a cold sweat under the carriage.
I'd touch my chest.
You're not bleeding. There's no wound, but it does ache, like, deep inside of you.
Oh, I lay back down, and I steady my breathing, and I cross my hands over my stomach, and I close my eyes, and I pretend that I am still trancing.
Critically Chaotic is a Dungeons & Dragons podcast brought to you by the following people. The DM is Zan, who can be found as @Zandir on all platforms. They is played by Alex, who simply cannot be found. Snow is played by Bean, aka Alexa, who can be found in a variety of ways, but mainly @Alexandra_Jaden on Twitter. Carius is played by Kian, who can be found as @LostFanboy on most platforms. Jerome is played by Lady, who writes, quote, "And that's all you get, you dirty gremlins." Mogan is played by Queen, who chooses not to be located at this time, or ever. Leaf is played by Sayla, also known as Strawberry online, who can be found as @_strawberrymilk on Twitter. The theme song is Melody by Emery. If you would like to support Critically Chaotic, please consider leaving a 5-star review and following us on whatever podcast listening platform you are currently using. You can find us @CritChaoticPod on Twitter with no underscores, where we post updates and retweet fan content. For any other platform you would like to see us on, please look in the description. We will see you next week for the continuing adventures of Vox Anima. Have a great week, everyone.
I won't let anything happen to you. I will sacrifice myself as I did in my dream.
I don't want to lose me either.
I don't want to lose either of them.